The ways of Jesus are opposite and don't even seem rational to us when we're walking in the ways of our Father. But the path that Jesus took was one of humility. We get to verse 6. In verse 6, it begins by saying this, "Therefore Jesus told them, the right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is the right time." In other words, if you're walking in the ways of the world, I'll go ahead, self-promote, walk in pride. Because that's just what you do. So there's no like right time if you're walking the ways of the world. But when we're walking the ways of Jesus, no, we have to hear his timing. And then he says this very interesting thing. He says, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that what it does is, well, it's evil. You go to the feast. I'm not yet going up to the feast because for me, the right time has not yet come. Now, after his brothers leave, then it was the right time because then he was able to go in private and kind of show up unannounced, which was his plan. But I want to look at this idea here that the world cannot hate you, but it hates me. When he's saying the world cannot hate you, he's talking to unbelievers. He's talking to his brothers who had not yet come to faith. And listen, we know that there's hate in the world, and we know that, you know, haters will even hate on other haters, and broken people will beat up other broken people. Jesus is not trying to make a statement that the only people that are hated are followers of Jesus or God himself. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that what I do generates hatred in people who are walking in darkness because guess what? Part of what I do is I expose that darkness. I show where there is darkness, and then people that are in darkness, they don't like that so much. It really irritates people who are in darkness when the light begins to come and expose that because don't tell people what I'm doing. This is my business, not their business. Don't show light on what I'm doing here. And any of us that have ever walked in darkness, right? It's embarrassing when we get caught. I remember getting caught a couple times, especially as a child doing something that I was walking in darkness, getting caught. I will not share those stories right now. But we don't like it. We would always choose to stay in darkness when we're in darkness. And so when Jesus begins to show light in a particular area of life, well, sometimes those walking in darkness will hate for that. And I believe that there's a bigger picture here because it's talked about elsewhere in Scripture that those of us that are walking in the ways of Jesus, don't be surprised when not everybody is applauding, but that you will generate some haters along the way. There are some people who are not going to understand because the way you're walking and you're walking in the ways of Jesus is not rational in their mind. And the more that you shine the light of Jesus, the more they're saying, you're just trying to make me look bad. And you're like, no, I'm not. I'm just trying to make Jesus look really good. I'm just trying to glorify him. If his glory bothers you, maybe you need to look at that. But guess what? But people get all jacked up inside. Their emotions begin to take over and hate will sometimes spill out. In fact, I believe that if we are walking our lives in the ways of Jesus, or we think we are, and no one ever hates us for that, if we never have anybody get bothered by the fact that we're walking in the ways of Jesus, we might want to look at our lives and say, how come everybody likes me? Maybe I'm just being nice, but I'm not really walking in the full ways of Jesus. Because I do believe that if we're walking in the ways of Jesus, that it will generate some people. It'll just that festering yuck that's happening in people's lives is going to ooze out sometimes and come our way. In fact, further on in the book of John, I'm going to skip ahead just for to show you this one verse, but in chapter 15, verse 19, Jesus says this. He says, the world would love you as one of its own if you belonged to it. They'd love you. All you have to do is show up and do what they're doing. And they'll say, oh, you're so awesome. You're like us. You're walking in darkness just like us. Welcome to the dark club. But he says this, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Sorry. See, when we're walking in the ways of the world, no one hates you for that. But when you say, no, I'm going to walk in the ways of Jesus, I'm giving my life to him, and I'm dedicating myself to walking in his ways, and people recognize, yeah, he's not walking like one of us anymore. She's not hanging with us anymore in the same ways. It's going to generate some haters. Now listen, here's the thing. You don't need to encourage people to hate you. And I think that too many Christians, in their attempt to follow the ways of Jesus, they actually are like doing the devil a favor because they're like spiting people who are still walking in the ways of the world or walking in darkness rather than just loving on them. And listen, Jesus does not call us to try to get people to hate us. He's just saying, no, that's just a natural thing that's going to happen when you're walking in my ways. But don't try to make it happen. Be filled with the fruit of the Spirit, even to the haters. Be filled with love. Be filled with joy. Be filled with gentleness. Be filled with kindness. Be filled even with long-suffering. Long-suffering. Because haters are going to hate. Listen, when we did the Fiesta car show yesterday, and we do put out advertisement not to try to bring any glory to ourselves, but to get people here so they can hear about Jesus, right? And we can love on them in beautiful ways. But, when we get the advertisement out there, there were two people who used it as an opportunity to hate on us for a little bit. You know, one person said, oh, your church, you're just filled with pride. Okay. Another person said, oh, you're racist. You're racist. And which was fascinating. They're not people that are part of our church. They're just people out there that see something. They don't understand it. They're walking in the ways of the world. We're trying our very best to walk in the ways of Jesus, and yet they chose the opportunity to give a little hate our way. So we delete those comments. Boop, boop, okay. It's all right. Haters gonna hate. But listen, what should our response be? We're just gonna love more. We're just gonna love people more. And when people don't understand it, we're gonna just help them, Jesus. And help me to walk in your ways, because we are not doing anything to attempt to be offensive or to bring shame or point out things that are broken in people's lives, except to say, man, I don't know if you know Jesus, and he loves you, and he wants to have a relationship with you. The last portion of this scripture picks up in verse 14 and says, not until halfway through the feast. Remember, there's like a week-long feast. So several days in, Jesus shows up. Not until halfway through the feast did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having studied? Because they knew he had not gone through rabbi school. They knew who went through the rabbinical school, and he had not. How did this man, Jesus, get so much learning without having studied? Jesus answered, my teaching isn't my own. It comes from the one who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. Right? That's that success model. Look at me. Say my name. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Karen, we just put up verse 17 there. I want to look for a moment at this one thing that Jesus said. Just go to the next slide. There we go. In the midst of this statement, Jesus says something that I believe is so profound and has to do a whole lot with the ways of Jesus. He says this, he says, if anyone chooses to do what? If anyone chooses to say it, do God's will. Say it. If anyone chooses to do it, to walk in the ways of Jesus, which is God's will, to walk in his ways. If anyone chooses to actually say, I'm going to do it, here's a promise here. He will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Let me put it even more simply for you. When he says, if you choose to do it, you're going to find out. Here's what I believe that is the heart of Jesus in saying this. He says, people who choose to do my will come to understand me. Will come to have a revelation, have a revelation of understanding about my ways. Just go ahead and leave that up there, Karen. I want to put it in reverse. Those who choose to not do God's will are going to have a really hard time understanding his will. Oh, if you don't choose to walk in God's ways, to walk in the ways of Jesus, we're going to always be caught in our minds with, I just don't think I understand. Man, that pastor keeps talking about the ways of Jesus and keeps talking about stuff from the Bible, but I don't get it. Might I suggest that what Jesus is saying here is for you and for me, that if we want to understand his ways, we must choose to do his will, to walk in his ways. There's some people, maybe even a handful in this room, who month after month have watched people go to the waters of baptism, and they say, man, I've heard Pastor Tim talk about how important it is to be baptized. And yeah, I think I even heard a message one time that, man, you know, Jesus was water baptized. And then he said, man, go and baptize my, you know, disciples. But you know what? I don't want to be baptized. Oh, you don't want to be baptized. Okay, listen, that's your right. You know, Pastor Tim and his posse is not going to show up at your house, drag you out of your bed, put you in your bathtub. But let me tell you something. I believe there are people who struggle in their faith because they've not just learned to say yes to the simple things that God has told us to do as his followers. Be baptized. Be baptized. Next month, there's going to be another opportunity. Be baptized. Some of you come in on Sunday morning, the songs start playing, and you find this tension in your soul, because I'm not going to sing that song. They can sing it up here from the stage. I'll listen just like it was on the radio. But I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to lift my hands to the Lord. And you're never going to catch me doing this little dance thing, you know, like, that ain't me. Now listen, the Bible has so many different beautiful ways that we can worship him, and not everybody is a big time singer or dancer or, you know, But can I tell you, we all need to worship. We all need to find that way to worship the Lord, to glorify Him, to do it. Choose to do it. Because I believe that people who say, nope, not me, I'm putting my hands in my pocket. You worship, I'll listen. I believe that we can unintentionally be blocking something of understanding of the ways of God, the ways of Jesus, because we're choosing not to just be a doer of the word. Jesus talked a lot about being a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Because if we are, it says we deceive ourselves. And I think there's a lot of people, even people in the church, that get caught up in deception and misunderstanding and not being able to really fully grasp the ways of Jesus because they've never chosen to simply do what he's asked us to do. Worship him in spirit and truth. True worshipers will worship him that way. Pastor Joel preached on that from John chapter 4. There's so many things that we could talk about, but I don't know what God may be whispering to your soul. Something you've resisted in him. Something in his ways that you've kind of said, nope, I'm not going to go there. But there's a direct link between doing and knowing. If we do God's will, his promise is that we will understand not only the words of Jesus, but we're going to understand his ways at a whole different level as well. I'm going to invite our ushers to come and begin to distribute the elements. We get to finish with something beautiful, participating together today with the bread and the cup. Now, chapter 7, as you heard me reflect earlier, was all of chapter 7 is surrounding. Yeah, go ahead and begin to distribute. Thank you. Oh, thanks, Bill. All of chapter 7 is surrounding this event called the Feast of the Tabernacles, where for a week every year, the Israelites would build these booths, these little tents where they would stay as a reminder, a beautiful reflection of the amazing work of God setting them free from slavery. Now, on the final day of the Feast of Tabernacles, there was a special thing that would happen. The priest would go to the Pool of Siloam and get water. And it was the most joy-filled, amazing time in the whole celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. The streets would be filled with dancing and with joy. And the priest would take that water right into the temple. And on the final day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the priest would mingle it with wine and would pour it out before the Lord. I know that in their minds, the Israelites would have been thinking of something probably that Isaiah said in chapter 12, the first three verses. Isaiah wrote prophetically and said, in that day you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you are angry with me, your anger is turned away. And you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. And Isaiah finishes with this. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. With joy, You will draw water from the wells of salvation. On the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the priest goes and gets water and brings it to the temple and pours it out. In many ways, that pouring out was an act of prayer, really an expression of God, our dependence upon you and your resourcing for our lives. As you bring the rain to the ground, Lord, we in remembrance of your resourcing for us, we pour this out today. And in John chapter 7, when we get towards the end of that chapter, Jesus did something. With everyone's understanding being pointed to this ritual, this beautiful ritual of pouring out water at the end of the festival, we get to John 7:37. And it says, on that last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. If any is thirsty, if any are longing for for the salvation of the Lord, if anyone in the dryness, the brokenness of their own soul is crying out, saying, God, I need you. If any is thirsty, come to me. Because that water that's being poured out in the temple, that water will soon evaporate off of the floor. But what I give you is forever and will quench every thirst and will minister to every point of brokenness and need in your life. And so this morning, as we reflect on that, drawing from the wells of salvation, we say, God, I'm thirsty once again for you. I'm thirsty for you. I'm hungry for you. Come and fill me. You alone are my salvation. You alone are my source of life. You could choose not to participate. But I believe that Jesus' words, that even as we do this, as we do this in remembrance of him, that our understanding of his work on the cross grows in our own heart because our doing is tied to our understanding. And so, church, let's do this in remembrance of his work for us, complete on the cross. Take of the bread. Let's eat. Jesus, your body broken for us, for me. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Now let's take of the cup and hear Jesus' words, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Jesus, we are in awe of you. Lord, your ways are not our ways. Your ways do not always lead to the world's image of success. In fact, most often they're the opposite. Lord, let us never fear walking a pathway of humility. But Lord, let us always walk in a pathway of love. Loving on even those who would come after us with hate. Lord, let us love all the more. Listen, if there's anybody here this morning and maybe you recognize, man, my life is so different than what I hear the ways of Jesus are all about. And you just realize, I've never surrendered my life to him. I've never come to him for my salvation. I'm trying to save myself. I try to do everything in my own power to make things right, to fix my own brokenness. But something in you right now is saying, you know what, but I'm thirsty for something more. Jesus would invite and say, come, come. I have so much for you. Allow me to be your savior. Allow me to be your healer. Allow me to love you as I've always wanted to love you, fully and completely. He does not hold your sin against you. He wants to pour out his love over you because his love will cover all of your sin and brokenness. And you'll never have to wonder any longer of God's love for you. And if there's any here today that would say, I want to learn to walk in the ways of Jesus. I want to drink of him deeply in every area of my life. Would you just simply just put up your hand and just look up at me, because I want to agree with you right now. If there's any here, yeah, ladies, yes, yes. Praise the Lord. Yeah, bro, absolutely. Anybody else that wants to say, today is my day. I want to give my life to him fully and completely. Anybody else? Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love poured out. Lord, we give all of who we are to you. And Lord, we choose to do your will. And